You know, it reminds me, when I was teaching at Concordia, I taught a course, well, several times, a course on issues between Islam and Christianity. And of course, I would have a Muslim speaker come and as part of the, to address questions that the students had. And one of the questions a student, because one of the things we did in the course is we studied the Quran, of course, and studied the names and the roles and the place of Jesus right there in the Quran, which is highly respected, high above any other name in the Quran. Only Jesus is given, doing miracles and the virgin birth and so forth. So one of the students asked the Muslim, he said, you know, we were studying about all of the high respect that's there in the Quran. Why don't you respect Jesus like we do? And he thought a moment, he said, well, you know, I used to work as a highway engineer in Washington State. And he said, and you know, sometimes I get these people coming to the office first thing in the morning. They say, hey, you guys, have you heard the latest joke about Jesus? And he said, I would say, oh, hey, please, gentlemen, let me leave the room. I highly respect Jesus, and I'm not going to listen to this joke. He didn't say it, but he could very, because he's just a gentleman, but very much he could have said to each one of us, have you done the same? Have you stood up for Jesus? Have you walked away when his name was maligned? It is difficult to be in the world, but not of the world. St. Paul says in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind by the Holy Spirit to prove what is the good and perfect will of God, to demonstrate what is the good and perfect will of God. Some people from the early church, some people could just go along with the crowd, right? Just say, look, I'm not going to stir waters here. You know, I got to keep my friends. I got to keep my family. I don't want to speak up. I don't want to alienate people. I just got to survive and just kind of go along with it. But early, from the earliest time of the church, other people just withdrew. Said, this world is evil. It's full of temptations. It's full. How can I possibly lead a God-fearing, godly life and live in the middle of all of this without compromising, without giving in to temptation? And they justified it by saying that that's really the only way you can earn yourself. You'd be sure of your salvation if you lead this life of purity. And so that's where some of the monastic movement developed. Martin Luther became a monk. Just for that reason, he wanted to be saved. He wanted to be pure. He wanted to get away from temptation because he knew what was happening inside of him. And yet, at the same time that he was there in the monastery, he said, the world is right there in the monastery. The world is right there inside of me. As Jesus said, out of the heart proceed all bad things. So finally, as a study of scripture, he left the monastery. He got married, he had children, he got involved in the society, got involved in politics. He said, because we are, our calling is to be in the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be the leaven in the lump, to be the light on the hill, to be, as Paul said, the ambassador of Christ in the world. As difficult and as complex as that is. And so as Christians, when there's gossip going on, what do? Certainly we don't pass it on, but do we stand up against it as well? Do we follow Luther's explanation of the eighth commandment to put the best construction, the best interpretation on everything? Do we follow the crowd? Do we go along with what everybody else is doing and saying? Or do we stand for grace and truth and integrity, no matter what it might cost? Just like it cost our Lord to take up our cross in the world as he did. In all of this, we are not alone. Our Lord is still with us in the world. The Holy Spirit still has called us and is, from our baptism on, has filled us with his power and his wisdom. And that struggle that we have in our conscience from time to time of how to act, where did that come from? Where does that come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who is convicting us who is motivating us and strengthening us. And he has said that even when you talk before kings, I will put the words in your mouth. We are not left alone. We are forgiven as we make our mistakes, as we make our compromises. We are not abandoned. Our Lord has said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And Jesus said in his prayer, I consecrate myself to be with you in the world so that the evil one will not mislead you, but rather that you might be what you know in your heart you want to be, because you are my disciple and because the Holy Spirit lives in you. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. And people will see us as people of courage, people of integrity, people of the truth, people who will stand up for what is right and make a difference in the world. They may not agree with us, they may oppose us, but they will respect us because they will know who we are and who we follow. God is faithful, and he is calling us to be faithful to him in the world. In Jesus' name, amen.